Oh God, through your word this day, free us from that which weighs us down and cripples us. Amen. Years ago, when I first heard that one could get health insurance for their pet, it struck me as kind of ridiculous. I was raised on a farm where animals and pets were valued and cared for, but not to the extent that one would go to extreme measures to treat them or keep them alive. Yet, in the world in which we live today, many people's house pets receive better care and attention than many people in our country, whether they be an economically deprived or hungry homeless citizen, a non-citizen, an immigrant, a refugee, or an asylum seeker. Our pets have roofs over their heads, a place, and many have health care. Now, we never bought health insurance for our cats while they were alive, yet for our last cat, we did spend money on medication to prolong its life. Because of this, though distant in time, we may not be too distant in experience from the people Jesus accused of hypocrisy because they cared for their oxen and donkeys better than some of the people that were part of their communities. When today's gospel narrative begins, Jesus was teaching in a synagogue on the Sabbath. Yet, even Jesus' teaching is not so important to him that he doesn't allow it to be interrupted by a greater need. When Jesus sees a woman crippled and bent over, his compassion leads him to set her free from that which ails her. Did she come to the synagogue just because that is what she did every week? Or did she come just to hear Jesus teach? Or did she come with a hope and desire to be healed? We don't really know. As the narrative is told, she doesn't ask Jesus to heal her, but rather he's the one that reaches out to her, taking the initiative to help her. Jesus' teaching and what he had to say are not the most important thing that happened that day, but rather what he did and the responses it evoked. It evoked praise of God in the woman who is freed and healed, even though it also eventually evoked praise from the entire crowd. It put his opponents to shame. Shame is a natural response when we are truly convicted of sin, whether it be doing something wrong or not doing something right. If we get stuck in our shame, however, we end up in the same condition as the bent over woman, weighed down with the sin that shames us. Yet, when forgiveness and healing are proclaimed and received, we are free to leave past conditions and sins behind us and live fully and boldly, standing tall in the grace of God. Through baptism, affirmation of baptism, and Holy Communion, Jesus puts his hands on us so that we too might be freed from our ailments, stand tall in God's grace, and praise the God who frees us. In our prayer of the day today that you heard earlier, we acknowledged that we cannot by ourselves stand up straight. In the natural physical world, there is this force called gravity, which pulls things down and keeps us anchored to Earth. Sometimes resisting it requires special attention. I read where utility poles have 6 feet of their height buried in the ground. So how do we root ourselves in the wisdom, power, forgiveness, and grace of God in order to withstand the forces that would bring us down? Perhaps we follow the lead of the bent-over woman and draw near to Jesus, near to his teaching and to the community which gathers around his word coming to us through scripture, music, prayer, and engagement with one another. In the process of doing this, Jesus has an opportunity to touch that which ails us and free us from it, whether it be grief, disease, low self-esteem, hard-heartedness, or the insensitivity of others. So it is that we also prayed in today's earlier prayer, give us strength of mind and body so that even when we suffer because of human sin, we may rise victorious through your Son, Jesus Christ. So, when we find ourselves complicit in human suffering due to lack of action leading to the freedom from suffering, may we draw near to the God who frees us. Jesus comes to us not only with the power to free us who are suffering, but to convict those of us who are indifferent to suffering. Thus, we might be driven to shame, led to forgiveness, and become capable of a transformative compassion which doesn't seek to ignore or avoid others, but to respond to their need. Then we will all be brought to a place of rejoicing at the things that God does for us and for us all. In my own life and the lives of others I have seen, even at times of crisis, we see how God provides for us, especially when we are most helpless and vulnerable. Seeing God's hand putting pieces in place and sustaining us can't help but evoke praise and hope for our future and for the future of all who suffer. In that vein, I leave you this day with a Franciscan benediction emerging from a discipline of prayer and hope. May God bless you with discomfort at easy answers, half-truths, and superficial relationships, so that you may live deep within your heart. May God bless you with anger at injustice, oppression, and exploitation of people, so that you may work for justice, freedom, and peace. May God bless you with tears to shed for those who suffer pain, rejection, hunger, and war, so that you may reach out your hand to comfort them and to turn their pain into joy. And may God bless you with enough foolishness to believe that you can make a difference in the world so that you can do what others claim cannot be done, to bring justice and kindness to all our children and the poor. Through the compassion of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit, this blessing is yours today. This blessing is ours today as the church, as God's hands and feet in our world. Thanks be to God. Amen.